Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
Time to talk football with John Clayton. If you guys have questions for John, you can text him in right now to 710-710, the Mac and Jack's text line. We'll get to some of your questions before we let him go for the day. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
So, do we have resolution with Aaron Rodgers? This is an interesting story that they are closing in on terms and an agreement that will bring him to training camp, that will have him in uniform for the Packers for at least this season, and then it sounds like it would set them up to trade him next offseason. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, no, just a matter of getting a contract done and getting all the particulars in there so that, because again, he doesn't trust management there. And so they've got to make sure, you know, because they're voiding out the third year of his contract and saying that they're not going to put a franchise tag. But now it's a matter how they structure it, whether it's saying, okay, you have a no trade clause, so we will trade you. But also it's like you get to pick kind of where you want to go. And so they have to kind of phrase it that way. And so it looks to me like he's going to, I don't know if he's going to be there tomorrow because I don't know if they can get the language done, but I think that he realizes that, you know, if he doesn't report, they're not going to trade him. But now I think he realizes that, like, okay, I'll stick it out this year. This will be my last year in Green Bay, and then I'm going someplace else next year. So I think that you can see how that's all heading, and that's why he's heading in. But then what this does mean, this is the last hurrah for the Green Bay Packers, just from the standpoint that, you know, if Aaron Rodgers isn't there next year, I doubt that Davante Adams is going to be there next year because they're close now. And not that they're going to go to the same team. That probably wouldn't happen. But I think that you can see he's going to leave because he's a free agent. We don't know about David Bakhtiari, the left tackle. His contract has voids in it, so he's not going to probably be there. And so it looks like they're going to have to go into a rebuilding program and start to see about the love they have for Jordan Love.
Well, and you brought up, you know, last hurrah. And Dave and I were just talking about the idea that we often see in all sports, you know, somebody who says, hey, this is it for me. This will be my final season. So that becomes their kind of farewell tour. I can't recall in any other sport where somebody said, yep, I'm still going to be playing. I still have career in front of me. I'm just not going to be playing for this team after this season.
Well, I mean, it wasn't open because we didn't know about it until the end. But I guess, you know, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick kind of got into that feel in the last 2 years he was in New England that, you know, after the 2 years where he didn't go to the mini camp or didn't go to the offseason program and just only went to the mini camp, that he was going to leave and go someplace else. And he ended up going to Tampa Bay. So I think you see a little bit of it. I mean, you kind of saw it with Brett Favre, you know, threatened retirement for 2 straight years. Ed Warder had to stand outside his house all the time for 2 years and giving updates like that. And so it's like, and then finally they traded him to the New York Jets. And so now we'll see. I think that they still want to set it up because, you know, they have to go into a rebuilding mode if he's gone and Adams is gone and all those different things. And also there's other things that might be in the contract too. Now, I don't know if indeed they put this clause in there, but one of the people were starting to say that, you know, he wants them to pick up Randall Cobb in a trade and bring him back to Green Bay so he has an extra receiver to work with and so he can try to make it the best possible way. So I don't think they can put that in there because that would be a little bit too much, because if they can't get a trade, then what is it, contract void or anything of that nature? So, yeah, it's kind of a tricky thing, but I think that, I mean, he's going to get things that he wants. They'll get him this year, and that'll be it.
Do I remember this correctly? Did Jordan Love not suit up for any games last year?
I don't think he did. No.
I thought that was the thing. Boy, that puts them in a really tough spot. And especially, it's one thing if you're going from a mediocre quarterback to, you know, an unknown. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers has done it for so long. I wonder how much longer he'll play. But, man, Jordan Love, you talk about an incomplete. As far as giving out grades, we're giving out grades with our rookies earlier in the year, John. You got nothing for him.
Nothing.
You have no idea. I mean, I'm sure they've seen him in practice, and that's the one thing that we don't get to see. But it just seems like they have a long ways to fall.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with that. And so you can see that it's a very bad situation. But, hey, the front office screwed this up. I mean, I think that Aaron Rodgers wanted to play 3 or 4 more years. And so it's like he probably wanted a little bit of a contract extension to be able to stay. But then, of course, once Love came in, I mean, and him having gone through it back in 2005 when he was drafted, And Favre kind of knowing it's like, I'm out of here in a year or two, you know, because here's Aaron Rodgers. They're not going to waste a first-round pick on Rodgers and not let him get the job. And sure enough, after 2 years, you know, they gave him the job. And so Aaron's kind of taking the same way approach, too. It's like, okay, so you took Jordan Love, you idiots. It's like, I want out of here, and I want it on my terms. And so he didn't get all of his terms because I think he would have preferred to go to Denver this year, but that wasn't going to work out. And instead of losing $35.3 million by sitting out the season, you know, now he gets a chance to know he's going someplace else, and he's going to have a voice where he's going to go. And there was talk all through the offseason, you know, that they almost worked out a deal with Denver before the draft, and then they pulled it back, and that angered Aaron. And so it's like there's so much bitterness right now. And even I know that today, you know, a lot of it had to be because they had the shareholders meeting and all those different things. And, you know, they kept on trying to say the right things that we want Aaron for this year and beyond. And, you know, it's like Mark Murphy, who's been a little bit too blunt during this time, said, yeah, I think you can put some blame on both sides. And of course, I'm sure that didn't go over very well. But in the end, it's like, you know, Aaron's serving out his last year in Green Bay and is ready to move on.
All right, John, you think we're going to have any of that kind of drama? I'm sure it won't be anywhere near that and not as long. But as far as Jamal Adams goes, we were talking, you know, I saw today the contract that Jonathan Allen signed.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, it's $18 million
right
per year for a D tackle. And if you're Jamal Adams, you're probably thinking, hey, I can see if it's, you know, Chase Young and it's a defensive end. This is an interior guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he gets a good amount of sacks, you know, 8, 9, 7, but man, that is a lot of money for a defensive tackle. And I was just, you know, asking Bob, hey, if you're on a playground and you're picking teams and those two guys are side by side, you're taking Jamal Adams. He's a much more impact player.
Well, I mean, what, Chris Jones got over $20 million as a defensive tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs, and, you know, he's got the stinky hands because he you know, doesn't take his gloves off, and, you know, he smells like a skunk out there on the field.
You could smell him from where you were walking.
Yeah, you could pretty well smell him, yeah, but, you know, he's got that skunk smell to him,
but man,
they paid him, you know, $20 million, but, you know, if you're going to be Jamal Adams, you're not going to jump the Seahawks are going to let him jump the safety number by almost $3 million. I don't even see him paying him 17. Now, again, if they pay him 17, you know, maybe what they do is they backload the contract and take away some guarantees and stuff like that so that they have a little bit more control. But in the end, I think that he's going to get somewhere in the 16s, and I think that's fair. It looks like he is going to report tomorrow. We'll find out for sure maybe around this time if he did. And I think there's optimism that even though people were saying it's close, it's not close, it's not close, it's close. I think something could get done by the weekend.
710-710 is the Mac and Jack's text line. If you guys have questions for John Clayton, you can text those in right now. John, 10 women have now filed complaints with the Houston Police Department about Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson. Now, he's reported to camp. 8 of those 10 are amongst the 22 who have lawsuits filed against him. 2 of those 8 are not. So you got this is a convoluted thing, and I know he reported to camp to avoid the fines, but he still want, you know, according to everybody, he still wants out of there, does not want to play there. Is he going to play anywhere? I know the league's doing their investigation. He's not supposed to be deposed until February of next year.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't seem like there's going to be any resolution one way or the other between now and then unless he settles with everybody. But what does his season look like this year? Is he going to play anywhere?
I think he is, because what you're looking at is that, you know, again, we'll see if the police do anything, because if the police do anything, then all of a sudden it could be player conduct and he's going to be out for a long period of time this year. But the thought is, if it's just going to stay in the legal system and not go to the police and with a formal charge, then what will end up happening is that, you know, I don't see anything happening until next year, because I think the league, even though they didn't do it with Ben Roethlisberger, they suspended him for 6, cut it down to 4 for an incident with a Georgia girl in 2011, you know, I kind of get the feeling this case is not going to be, the cases aren't even going to be heard until May to June in July at the earliest. And so it's like, you know, I think that the player conduct thing could go next year. And I think even though it's some, you know, again, as Dave and I always tend to agree. You can never guess what Roger Goodell is going to do as far as suspensions and penalties and things of that nature.
Well, I've seen stories about he could be placed on paid leave.
That's the commissioner exemplist.
Okay, so he'd get his... So in a way, wouldn't that be more beneficial for him? Because if he was going to hold out and not play for the Texans because he wants to be traded, he's not getting paid versus... He's still not playing for the Texans if he's on administrative leave, but he's getting paid.
Yeah, but I think what ended up happening is that he caught word, or they told him, it's like, okay, we said we were not going to trade you, but we were talking to teams right before the draft about seeing what you'd be able to offer. And, of course, what Houston wants is the equivalent of like 3 number one picks and 2 good starters, mostly on defense. And so, I don't know, because one thing that you cannot do in the National Football League is go to a third year on first-round picks. So what happens now is that one team that can do it and one team that's interested, and this may be the team he can go to this year and play this year, is the Philadelphia Eagles. Because remember, the Eagles were involved in that three-way trade with Miami and San Francisco, and they got an extra first-round pick next year. Then, even though they got a low pick this year, they traded Carson Wentz to Indianapolis, and they got a number two, where if Wentz ends up having a good season, it could turn into a number one. So that's the one team that could give the 3 first-round picks and, take your choice. I mean, they can, give them Darius Slay, maybe give them one of their defensive linemen, and that could work. And then he'd have a chance to play this year. And then, Philadelphia, as bad as they are supposed to be this year, could be a little bit more of a factor.
Really a bummer for Frank Reich. He gets a positive COVID test, and then, all of a sudden, I mean, and look, you go through the whole last year. It was much less safe last year. And now there are vaccines, and they know more about it and everything. And then he gets tested positive. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad for him, but, I just wonder, if this is going to be an outlier. I just hope that, maybe they find a different way to get around it, you think, John? Because he's been fully vaccinated. I don't know. I really feel bad for him just not being able to spend the time with his team.
Yeah, agreed. And, like even today on the waiver wire, I think there was 3 or 4 guys on the COVID-19 list. And I think we're close to like 13 to 14 right now that are on the COVID list. I mean, Jacksonville has 4, and now you got Indianapolis with 1 with Frank Reich. And so, it's like, and you don't know. And again, like the players are complaining about, it's like, hey, see, we got guys who are vaccinated getting the positive test, so I'm not going to get the test. I'm not going to get the shot. I'm not going to get the vaccine, which, of course, I think is not right, because I think, just get the shot. Just take it, right? And so, you protect your teammates. You're not going to be ostracized. I mean, I know, for example, just talking to somebody yesterday in Buffalo, Jerry Hughes, a defensive end, just absolutely ripped Cole Beasley for the stance he's taking on the vaccine. And you could see internally, there's going to be problems with this. I mean, fortunately, from the Seahawks standpoint, I know they're over 90% as far as their vaccines, and my guess is they're going to be pretty close to getting it all done in the next few days if they haven't got it done yet. But overall, I think what you're looking at is that, I think the league needs to continue to press, and get more getting vaccinated.
710-710 is the Mac and Jack's text line. We'll try to get to some of your questions here in just a moment. Quickly, John, Chandler Jones apparently unhappy with what's happening in Arizona, wants to be traded. What's the likelihood he does get traded, and if so, where does he go?
Good question, because, again, you think he's going to be so popular. A lot of people, I know back in Baltimore, you got players tweeting out they want him. They're hoping that Baltimore, because, again, you figure if you do trade him, because, again, he's been the best sacker since, the last 7 years or so, is that you want to trade him into the AFC and not have him in the NFC to come back to haunt you. So, I mean, my guess, he's going to hold out, and, they'll still probably not want to trade him, but, he's upset. And, he's upset in two ways. He's upset with the contract that they gave J.J. Watt. He's upset with the contract that DeAndre Hopkins got. And he's upset that they haven't upped his contract when he thinks he needs it. And so it's a bad situation. But what are you going to do? You got to see if he shows up first. And if he doesn't, then he's going to be fined. He's going to lose $50,000 a day. And how long he takes it will determine if they're going to trade him or not trade him.
All right, John, another question from a texter, and I would answer this one. Most overrated team. I think my answer would be the Rams. I mean, they've lost quite a bit. And, you know, you're putting a lot.
A great Matt Stafford with them now.
Yeah, see, they're putting a lot into Matt Stafford, and I feel like. And you've got some pretty significant losses there. You still got Aaron Donald. You still got Jalen Ramsey. You know, they lost Cam Akers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to me, I don't know. Can you think of any other ones? Maybe a little overhyped. I know a lot of people are jumping on the Los Angeles Chargers.
Mm-hmm. I would jump on them. I think they're a sleeper team.
Yeah, I think they're legit, and they're talking about overrated. But yeah, to me, I think the Rams probably fill that bill.
Yeah, I look at New Orleans because again, it's like some people are thinking they're still up to being a playoff team because Sean Payton's there as the coach. But I mean, you know, once they lost their best receiver and probably their only wide receiver in Michael Thomas. But overall, they've lost. You know, they start the season out because Onyeka. The defensive tackle is going to miss 6 games with a suspension. And so they're down, opening the season up, down 11 starters. 11 starters. Think about that. And, of course, they lose Drew Brees. Now they lose Michael Thomas for 4 months. I mean, I think that, you know, they get hyped up because Sean Payton's such a good coach. But how much can Sean Payton do? I don't know if it's still going to be – I think it's going to be Jameis Winston at quarterback over Taysom Hill. But if it's Taysom Hill, I mean, I think they're going to really struggle to win. So I think that team gets a little bit overhyped. And you kind of wonder – even though it's pretty tight, I think, right now for talent between Indianapolis and Tennessee, the Tennessee might be a little bit overhyped.
360 says Cowboys. I think somebody says that every year.
Yeah.
Aren't the Cowboys always overhyped?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that's the Cowboys. It's America's team.
Jerry Jones.
And although Jerry didn't predict Super Bowl this year, which I guess is kind of wise. But, yeah, I think that they do tend to get overhyped. And, you know, it's one where – but, again – It depends on their defense. And you got Dan Quinn there trying to fix up the defense with Chris Richard in the backfield. And so that might make things good there. But you know they're going to be good on offense. I mean, Dak Prescott's back and he's full-time and he's healthy. They've got 3 really good receivers. Their offensive line should be as good. It's still young enough to be good. So, it may not be a hype-up compared to teams like Seattle and Green Bay with Rodgers back and some of the other teams. But, again, in that division, I mean, it's basically Dallas and Washington and nobody else.
John, the 509 says, can you ask the professor, are the Cleveland Browns good enough to win the Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield, or is he the weak link on an otherwise excellent roster? Is Baker today and always a C quarterback?
I think he's a B-minus right now, but good enough to win the Super Bowl? No. I still remember last year, everybody was hyping up in Cleveland. If you said Cleveland wasn't going to the Super Bowl, I mean, they wanted to dunk you in Lake Erie and have you getting bitten by some kind of a fish.
A freshwater shark?
Yeah, a freshwater shark. I mean, so it's like, because you're saying that they're not going to go to the Super Bowl? No, they're not. And they're not going to go this year. I think they have a good chance to win the division. I think they can win a playoff game. But what's going to end up happening is that who's going to win a game that's going to go, let's say, Patrick Mahomes going up against Baker Mayfield? Mahomes. Who's going to win a game between Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield? Josh Allen. And then we'll see if the Chargers can make it with Justin Herbert. I mean, there's so many good young quarterbacks in the AFC, and obviously Baker Mayfield came on toward the end of the season, but I think what happens now, you know, because what made him so good this past year were the players around him. And, you know, the 2 running backs are good. They've got good tight ends. They've got good receivers. And so I think, you know, the surrounding talent, but then what happens once you get into the playoffs, the better quarterback usually wins.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed by him, though, Baker Mayfield, at the end of the year. Yeah,
and his commercials. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, just the commercials. But also, I think they had the number 3 run game.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's huge. We won't say who was carrying the ball, okay?
Hey, by the way,
it was Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought we weren't going to say it, man.
I didn't think John was. You know, I knew John didn't know that. No, I knew he.
No,
knew
I know.
I knew you knew that.
John. I knew.
I also
know that Seattle liked him a lot.
Yeah,
well, not enough.
But they didn't
apparently.
Take him.
No, they took Rashad Penny.
Yes, they did. Yeah,
still hurts to hear that.
That one hurts.
Yeah, sorry about
Who's
that.
Who's the leading rusher at the end of the season, John, for the Seahawks? Seahawks.
Oh, come on, it's Chris Carson.
Yeah. Maybe he doesn't stay healthy, John.
Let's see if he does. I mean, yeah. He's saying he's not going to try to do any vaults or any flips or anything like that, and you know, maybe try to be a little less physical. Hey, by the way, from what I hear, this goes back to Aaron Rodgers, you know, you kind of get the feeling that him going back now confirms he's not going to get Jeopardy.
Oh.
Yeah, and the reason I say that, there's the rumor out this week that by the end of the week, they're going to announce who's going to be the full-time host in Jeopardy. And so, you know, and it could be, you know, the champ coming from Seattle.
Oh, who, Ken Jennings.
Ken Jennings, yeah, he very well could be him. But I think that from what I hear, because remember, they got to start taping here sometime in mid-August or early August to start getting their shows together. And so it's like for the fall. So, yeah, it's supposed to be the announcement toward the end of the week. And I think that pretty well confirms with Aaron going back to the Packers that it's not going to be him.
I thought I read that. Is it LeVar Burton doing it this week?
He's doing it this week.
Yeah, I thought I saw that headline somewhere.
Yeah, who does Pat like?
What's that?
Who does Pat like as the Jeopardy host?
I don't know. I've not asked her.
Jennings?
I don't know.
All she does is express her dislike for Aaron Rodgers.
That's correct.
Well,
yes.
John, you need to get to the bottom of that, and we'll talk to you tomorrow about it.
Yeah, okay. Tomorrow we'll talk about who it is she likes. We know she dislikes Aaron. Who does she like? Who does she, if she's making the choice, who gets that gig?
And that makes us like Pat.
There you go.
Yeah. As if we didn't already, that she doesn't like Aaron Rodgers.
Uh-huh.
Love it.
I like Aaron Rodgers.
I like him, too. I'm fine with him.
Take that, Dave.
I'm with Pat on this one. All right.
John, we'll talk tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. If you missed any of today's cold, hard facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com. Trades are happening around baseball, but would you trade the future for a shot at the present? We'll talk about that next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.